Merry Christmas and to all a good night, and said, we're done, right? We won't do that. All right. Well, I think probably most of us have had the experience of having to buy a gift for someone who seems to have everything, right? We have that person in our lives. It just seems like they're impossible to buy. And the question that plagues many of us during this season is, what do you get a person that has everything? So the title of this message this morning is, A Gift for the One Who Has Everything. And I know it's maybe not your common Christmas passage, but the text is actually that we're going to be surrounding is John 3, 16 and 17. The question that is often answered when we ask, what do you get a person that has everything, is get them a gift card, right? Get them a gift card, right? Well, there was a new survey, and I read all of these, and in fact, these are fresh surveys. A new survey that from creditcards.com found that nearly half, 47% of Americans have unused gift cards, vouchers, or store credits, totaling, get this, 21 billion statewide. 21 billion. The National Retail Federation estimates that Americans will spend between 942 and 960 billion during the holiday season, and of that 960 billion each year, up to $3 billion worth of gift cards go unused. According to the Mercator Advisory Group, which provides data on the payment industry, Consumer Reports estimates that 19% of gift card recipients will never use them. For the merchant, at least, the gift card was a wonderful invention, wasn't it? Just think of it. In the weeks leading up to Christmas, millions of people visit your store, your web store, your website, and hand you billions of dollars in exchange for nothing more than a plastic IOU that may never be redeemed. Pretty incredible, actually, isn't it? So my question is this. What good is a gift if that gift is never used? What good is a gift if it is never used? Our text is one of the most familiar passages in all Scripture. In fact, this has been seen as the most quoted passage in Scripture since the 6th century. However, surprisingly, it is often overlooked during Christmas season. No passage of Scripture more clearly explains the significance of Christmas as does John 3, 16 and 17. To a world full of people that seem to have everything, God has given a perfect gift. Unfortunately, like many gift cards, people fail to redeem the great gift that God has given. Today, I would like for us to look at this familiar passage through a set of lenses, or through a set of fresh lenses, maybe we could say, and hopefully we will see why Jesus is, in fact, the perfect gift for each and every person. John 3, 16 and 17. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. I have found through the years of Bible study, you know, I have my favorite ones that I have memorized things in, but I have found that very often it helps a lot to freshen up a passage by varying, go to a different translation, just read that in a different way, because every once in a while something really jumps out at you and you realize that that verse that you've become so familiar with, you've memorized it, that maybe you haven't really been paying attention to what it really is saying. So John 3:16 in the New Living Translation says, For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. So the first thing that I want you to see is this. God gave mankind a gift that met His deepest need. That is mankind's need, deepest need, not God's deepest need. We're often in the habit of sort of overlooking our greatest need. And if you were asked the question right now, what is your greatest need? People ask that kind of a question. Well, you know, what do you need? How many of us would say, well, my greatest need is my sin problem? Probably not many of us, right? We would think of something that we need materially, right? Or maybe emotionally. But the biggest thing, according to scriptures, the Apostle Paul wrote, is our sin need. Romans 3 clearly shows that sin is a problem that each and every person struggles with. And our text shows that God was bent on doing something to redeem His creation from the plague that sin brought to them. If you read the entire New Testament, you'll quickly discover that because of sin, man is in a hopeless state of separation. Our text reminds us that salvation does not originate with us. The text clearly spells out that God is and was the initiator of this gift, this provider for our salvation. God's purpose is sending His Son, in sending His Son, was not to destroy the world or to destroy all of humanity, but to bring redemption to them. God realized that for the sin problem to be solved, that it would require a drastic and a costly method. When God sent His Son, He built a bridge that would bring us back to Him across a great chasm. Some of you may even have that piece of art that has become popular in the last several decades. It's a piece of art that shows this great chasm, and then there's a cross laying across it, and Jesus. It shows how God built or gave us Christ to bridge the chasm of sin. So that's the gift He gave us. Some have said that the Christian God is angry, not loving. Contrary to what was taught by Marcion and some of the Gnostics, God is not self-centered, angry, or unforgiving. My Bible says, for God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen? That is the gift that He gave us. And so, God gave mankind a gift that met His greatest need. Second, God gave mankind a gift that met His deepest desire. People in our world constantly search for love and a sense of the fact that they matter to someone. Last year in the United States, online dating services generated $5.61 billion. In revenue. Many people have chosen to use websites, which are sites that helps those who are unhappily married hook up with those who are interested for extramarital affairs. This is all simply a symptom of a deep, deep human need that we have, and that is to be loved and to be accepted. Unfortunately, people are searching and never finding what they are looking for. The great theologian Waylon Jennings summed it up like this. I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching your eyes, looking for traces of what I'm dreaming of. I see most of you remember that. But it's so true. It's so true. I have a very dear friend right now who just a couple of weeks ago, his wife told him, I'm not happy with where I'm at. I want a divorce. No reason. She won't talk. Whatever. Just, I'm not happy. I want a divorce. Heartbreaking. We have a deep emotional need to be loved and to belong. Aren't you glad that you belong to Jesus Christ? Amen? I guess probably a question that we could ask any one of ourselves and those we know is how many of you would love to know beyond a shadow of doubt that you are unconditionally loved and accepted just the way that you are? Amen? Amen. Christmas tells every person in the world that they matter to God and that He loves them. Did you know that? That's what Christmas says. God's love caused the salvation of the human race to become His goal. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love for us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait to give us a good gift till we were good. He gave us a good gift when we didn't deserve the good gift. Amen? In the human way of thinking, right? We were taught even from when we're little kids, right? My mom and dad said, you know, if you're really good, you might get a gift. But if you're not, well, you might just find a chunk of coal, right? Jesus, instead of giving us a chunk of coal, gave us life. He gave us life. God's love was a sacrificial love. Sacrificial love always seeks to find the most practical way to meet the needs of those who are loved. Perhaps our text could be summed up this way. God loved and God gave. God loved and God gave. God showed His love for us by paying the ultimate price to pay the penalty of our sins. So first, God made mankind a gift that met his greatest need. Second, God gave mankind a gift that met his greatest desire. Third, God gave mankind this gift with the greatest love. Our text reveals the depth of God's love to mankind. The Bible presents God as a loving Father who cannot be happy without his wandering children being brought back home. If you're a dad or you're a mom, you understand that. I don't have to say anything further. Especially if you're a mom and a dad of grown children. If your children are still young, it may be hard to grasp. But when your children are grown, there's nothing you wouldn't do to reach out to them and to see them come, right? Your heart is connected. We just take that moment and just say, Lord, is that really that kind of a connection that you have with each one of us? Billions of people. God has that heartstring that He gave us to our children. He has to whosoever believeth in Him. Whosoever believeth in Him. Amen? God's love is not for a single person, a single nation, but for the whole world. It is a love that reaches into the heart of every person. God's love is so perfect and deep that it requires a willingness to sacrifice for the one who is loved. The early church father, Augustine, was right on target when he wrote these words. He said, and I quote, "God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love." End of quote. God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. A love as deep as God, as God's love, is extremely difficult for us to comprehend. There are many who are going through a Christmas for the first time without a mother or a father, maybe a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter. You know this emptiness, this love that is there in your heart for them. Can you imagine loving someone that has constantly turned their back on you, and to love them to the point that you are willing to give up everything for them? This concept of love is very, very different from what our world shows us. Very different. God's love is not conditional. It is not temporary. God is incapable of ever ceasing to love us. Did you know that? God is incapable of ever ceasing to love us. When we think about God's love, we cannot understand it. We would never have entertained the thought of loving to this degree. If we're really honest, we would admit that we believe that this type of love is almost impossible of us. But God loved us like that. So first, God gave mankind a gift that met his greatest need. Second, he gave mankind a gift that met his greatest desire. Third, he gave mankind the greatest gift with the greatest love. And fourth, I want you to see that God gave mankind a gift that truly keeps on giving. This is the gift that endures for eternity. The gift of God's love has implications for all of eternity. God's love makes it possible for us to not have to pay the great penalty for our sins. Christmas reminds us that God went through great lengths to make possible for us to not perish, but to live with him for all of eternity. When we believe, we put Christ in charge of our lives on earth and in our lives in eternity, and that is a gift. When we believe, that's what we do. We give our heart to the Lord. That's what we call it, right? We accept Jesus, but we start allowing him to be the king of our heart, right? And we start living for him, and we let him be in charge of our life on earth. Although I think sometimes we struggle with that and we like to take charge back for ourselves and then relinquish it back to him when things are going good, right? But when things are not going so good, sometimes we don't like relinquishing control to him. So this is a gift that only impacts our lives when we choose to redeem it. You know those gift cards that were unused? I've often wondered how it makes God feel when his grace, his love, his kindness, his mercy is available to us 24/7. And yet, we often choose to not partake of it or to be a part of it. December 26 is a busy day in the retail world as they deal with the returns of the gifts, the people who have chosen not to keep them. A gift will do us absolutely no good if we leave it in the box and never use it. Amen? Christmas presents us with the choice of whether or not to accept the gift that God has given us. Countless numbers of people have chosen not to do anything with the great gift that God has given and have simply left it in the box and set it on a shelf to collect dust. Even many of those who know very well what this gift is, but have not held it near and have not held it dear to their hearts and said, Jesus, yes, I accept your gift. Our text tells us that if the gift is to do any good for us, then we need to redeem it, right? We need to redeem it. To believe is to accept the gift and to receive another gift, and that is the gift of eternal life. I don't know about you, but I don't see the downside on that. Sounds like all upside to me. To not believe in its barest essence is to refuse the gift and to die because of our sin. This is a gift that we can share with others. Many of us have those in our lives who we know who need to accept this greatest gift that God has given. If you would simply share this gift, it could make a difference in someone's life. In fact, the Bible has instructed us to share this gift with all those who cross our paths. He said to them, "For it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Acts chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. Where is your Jerusalem, your Samaria, your Judea? You're all through the earth. To the ends of the earth. Means everyone, right? What's keeping you from sharing the greatest Christmas gift ever given to someone else? On January 6, 1850, a snowstorm almost crippled the city of Colchester, England, and a teenage boy was unable to get to the church that he usually attended. So he made his way to a nearby primitive Methodist chapel where an ill-prepared layman was substituting for the absent preacher. His text was Isaiah 45:22. It says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." For many months, this young teenager had been miserable and under deep conviction. But though he had been reared in church, both his father and grandfather were preachers, he did not have the assurance of salvation. The unprepared substitute minister did not have much to say, so he kept repeating the text. "A man need not go to college to learn to look," he shouted. "Anyone can look. A child can look." About that time, he saw the visitor sitting to one side, and he pointed at him. He said, "Young man, you look very miserable. Young man, look to Jesus Christ." The young man did look by faith, and that is how the great preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, was converted. You and I have an opportunity to share the greatest gift we could ever share. A gift that I could say is most needed in our culture today. God's mercy is great, but you can only experience it by accepting his gift. Amen? Oh, to have that assurance of salvation. What a great thing that is. Amen? I never understood it. I never understood how great it was until I experienced it. Once I experienced it, to just experience the fact, you just know, well, No matter what circumstance you come into. You know what? This is what God has. And I'll never forget, early on, we were still attending the church where we had gotten saved. And my wife and I and our oldest son at the time, who was in a car seat in the back seat. And just to tell you how long ago it was, they had just instituted the seatbelt laws in the state of Ohio. And so we were seatbelted. Thank God we were. Because we drove through very bad roads on a similar morning to this. I mean, we were going to go to church. And at that time, we lived in Huntsburg, and we went to church in Willoughby Hills. So we drove all the way in Route 6, 322, and then Route 6. And the roads were terrible. We finally get to Kirtland, and the roads were just wet. And so I kind of let my guard down, and we're driving. And a young kid, first-year driver, just turned right into us. Turning into a parking lot, I don't know, didn't see us for whatever reason it was. And the impact was huge. And it hit us so squarely that our car actually stopped right in the lane it was in. And he was about 25 feet behind us in the ditch. And the impact was so hard, the engines actually got moved in the cars. And all I can remember is thinking to myself, and this was as a new Christian, all I could think of was, wow, I'm going to be in heaven today. And I wasn't scared, I wasn't nervous, I was like, wow, I'm going to find out what it's like to be in heaven. And then all of a sudden, sort of over the, you know, whatever was going on, I hear my wife shouting my name, and I hear a baby crying. So it must have almost knocked me out or whatever had happened. There was no airbags yet at that time. So, but needless to say, we all came through the accident well. We couldn't hardly walk for a couple of weeks, but, you know, we had no broken bones and no lasting effects. But I'll never forget what that felt like, to just have that complete assurance of salvation and just know that, you know what? If God called my number this morning, here I go. I'm going to find out what it's like. But then it didn't. So I'm still waiting for that. One of these days, right? One of these days. And, you know, things change through the years. Sometimes you really wish you could go right now, and then other times you're kind of like, well, Lord, you know, I won't mind if you let me have a few more years. I'm really enjoying my grandkids. So, you know, emotionally and stuff. But God knows what it all is. And He gave us a gift that many of us end up treating like the gift card to the store we never really go to. And it stays in our drawer. To be quite honest, I know that I have at least one laying in my drawer. So true. Amen? And I ask you to stand with me this morning. I guess the question that I want to ask all of us is, what will we do with the greatest gift that has ever been given?